While we were there, our daughter-in-law gave my wife this bamboo plant. And I thought, okay, it's interesting. Didn't understand why. Then a couple of weeks later, I'm in a meeting with a friend of mine down in Indiana. And after the service, we're just talking. Been talking about what we've been reading and things we've learned lately. And he just randomly says, "You ever do a study on Chinese bamboo?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's on my list to do stuff next week." And I've always been curious about China. I mean, who's not curious about Chinese bamboo? I mean, I'm thinking of all the things to... Now I'm looking in the back. You guys got bamboo in the back. This is freaking me out, man. I'm serious. This is weird, man. I didn't notice that yesterday. I'm usually really observant. My wife will tell you, I don't miss a lot. I never even noticed that till I'm up here. That's really weird. That's either God or somebody else. I'm not sure who that is. But so I've never studied Chinese bamboo. Never really been. I just figured my life would go on fine. If I knew nothing about Chinese bamboo, I figured I'd probably live and die and everything be cool. But I got doing some study. I began, he got me curious. I thought, you know, this is a guy that's a pretty, he's a thinker. He's a pretty heavyweight kind of individual. And so I thought he's not just going to bring that up. It's just some random thing he ran across. So I began to do some study on Chinese bamboo. And I realized that this plant that I've got before you tonight, when you first plant Chinese bamboo, and that's what that is, that's a shoot off a Chinese bamboo plant. The first year, it doesn't grow at all. It will stay that way the entire first year. The second year, it doesn't grow at all. It stays the same way the second year. It'll look like if I come back here next year, it'll look the same way. If I come back here in 2 years, it'll look the same way. If I come back here in 3 years, guess what? It's going to look the same way. If I come back here in 4 years, it's going to look the same way. If I come back here in 5 years, it's going to look the same way. But during that fifth year, it grows 80 feet in 6 weeks. Now let me ask you a question. Did it grow 80 feet in 5 years? Or did it grow 80 feet in 6 weeks? Think with me. Did it grow 80 feet in 6 weeks? Or did it grow 80 feet in 5 years? Because just because you can't see growth doesn't mean there's not growth.
Amen. That's real good.
And I'm going to tell you this, y'all. If that plant in that container, in that amount of soil, grew 80 feet in 6 weeks, Houston, we have a problem. So I'm thinking, as Brother Jeremy is masterfully presenting what God had put on his heart. And I'm thinking about a couple of examples. First of all, in the Gospels, you have the example of two sisters, Mary and Martha. Right? Martha's the servant. Martha's the one who's busy. She's working, she's laboring, she's working in the church potluck or the church carry-in. You got to be careful. Some places you can't have a potluck because then your people would bring dope and dice to church. But, amen. But so you have a carry-in dinner, amen. Some of y'all might have gotten that confused if the preacher just said we're having a potluck Sunday. Like, what in the world's that? Do I need to bring cards and reefer? Or what are we doing here, man? What's the deal? And, Oh, don't y'all lighten up, would you? Some of y'all are looking like Jeremy used the word constipated in his message, and some of you look like you need Dulcolax so bad right now you can't stand it. Lighten up, man. Wow. Say a couple of things, and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh! So I'm thinking about Mary and Martha. Martha's the one busy. I mean, man, if there's something needs to be done at church, she's on it. But all the while she's busy, she's got time to notice, Corinne, that Mary ain't with her. Mary ain't busy. Mary's at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him. Mary's not complaining that Martha's busy and's not worshiping. But Martha sure got time to complain that Mary's not busy with her, and she's, amen? And the amazing thing is, Jesus never rebuked Mary. He said to Martha, she's chosen the more needful thing. You wonder why that is? It's not necessarily because Jesus, although he's worthy of our worship. Amen? And we are created, as the preacher said, for his pleasure. If you can pillow, listen, young believer, if you can pillow your head tonight and know you have done everything that the Lord has asked you to do today, you've had a great day. Irregardless of whether everybody thinks you did everything you should have or not. Amen? So then I'm thinking of Peter, and I'll probably preach about him later in the week. But Peter was that disciple that was a lot like Phil. He's very impulsive. He speaks first before he thinks. I heard a preacher say that Peter was the only disciple that had a foot-shaped mouth because he seemed to have it in there a lot. Amen? Amen? Peter's the one that, amen, cuts the servant of the high priest's ear off. Jesus says, put your sword away, and picks the ear up and puts it back on. Peter was young and he was impetuous. He was trying to impress. And I've seen a lot of people come and go in church. I'm not trying to discourage you tonight. I'm trying to help you. Because one of the things that happens in the Christian life is you get saved. And church is like any place else you hang out where there's people. You observe things. And you figure out what's acceptable and what's not. And you try to conform to what's acceptable. You try to fit in the standard. And if you're not careful, what'll happen is you'll grow 80 feet in 6 weeks. And then you won't be around very long. Amen? And so I'm looking at Peter's, I'm thinking through Peter's life. It wasn't that I wasn't paying attention to Brother Jeremy's message. But I'm thinking through Peter's life. And at the very end of the, in fact, the last words that God used Peter to write are in 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to turn there real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. The final verse of that chapter, of that book. We read these words. But grow in grace. Listen, I'm for standards. Everybody's got them. Amen? The world's got standards. They may not be real high. Amen? The workplace has got standards. Public school's got standards. Amen? But it doesn't say grow in standards. That's not what it said. It didn't say grow in service. I'm for service. I'm not preaching against either one of those things. I'm for service. I think if you're saved and you love the Lord, there is going to be a desire to be involved in something that's going to perpetuate and going to propagate the gospel. But it didn't say grow in service. It said, grow in grace. and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I think if we are going to set our mark of achievement, and we are going to point our lives in a direction and hope to arrive at a goal and a destination, I think we'd be wise to look to the Lord. Amen? Not look to people. Listen, I I'm of the opinion that Paul, who I believe was the apostle to the Gentiles, his great fear was expressed this way. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I had preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Another Wilson reference here. Sorry about that. But here's the thing. Paul, God used him to write more of your Bible than any other single individual. And his consuming fear, Jeremy, was that at the end of his life, when he had preached to everybody else, that he might do something in his flesh that would cause him to be a castaway. And if it can happen to Paul, it can happen to Phil. And if it can happen to Paul, it can happen to Brother Jeremy. And if it can happen to Paul, it can happen to, amen, the pastor. If it can happen to Paul, it can happen to you. And ladies and gentlemen, we spend a lot of our life trying to please people. And as the preacher said tonight, you ought to please the Lord. Amen? I heard a preacher put it this way some time ago. He said, the second greatest day in your life, other than the day you got saved, is the day that God delivers you from public opinion. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about being a jerk, because our ranks are full of those. Amen. Have been one can speak with a testimony. Amen. I could teach a graduate level course on how to be a jerk. Amen. I don't even have to have an honorary doctorate. I earned mine. Amen. But I'm just telling you, you don't have to be a jerk. Amen? Listen, we're going to stand against things. The fact of the matter is, I'm probably against everything that those other guys are against. I'm just not mad about it. Amen. I'm tired of having a bad attitude about everything. Ooh, I plowed up a snake. I hit a stump. You know what the farmers do when they hit a stump? They just back it up, drop the plow another 6 inches, and drop her in Granny Low. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying. I know we got to stand for some things. Here's our problem, y'all. We all are real good at knowing what to stand against. We ain't got a clue what to stand for. Amen? And so with that in mind, I want to very, very briefly tonight, amen, turn your Bible to Mark 5. We finished up last night in Mark 4. And we're going to pick up tonight in Mark 5, the first verse. It's good to be in church tonight. Amen. I promise you, I'm not going to wear you out. Can you give me 16 minutes? Can you? I know you've already given me, I don't know how many, but my wife will tell me after church how many I took this whole thing. Amen. She's good like that. That's why we work so well together, man. Listen, I love that gal with all my heart. She keeps me grounded, reminds me who I am. Amen. heard a story one time about a preacher, and he had gotten some notoriety because his church had grown. It was not like the Chinese bamboo plant. I mean, it had grown 80 feet in 6 weeks. And he'd gotten some notoriety, and people started having him in to preach conferences, Brother Todd, so that they could maybe learn what he did to get his church to grow so fast. And then he started preaching some of the closing meetings of he was the keynote. That's the term. You're the keynote. He began to be the keynote of some big conferences, and he was a national speaker. And he'd gotten home from one of those big meetings, you know, where everybody asks you to sign their Bible. I never have figured out that whole thing. Usually people sign books when they wrote them.
Right.
I didn't write this one. Amen. I just never have understood that whole thing. I understand you got here. I get all that. But anyway, he'd signed a bunch of Bibles and everything, and he got back home. It was late at night, Brother Reagan, and there was a light snow falling. There was a fire in the fireplace, and it was just glowing embers. He had a kind of a tough day getting back to the house, and so he kicked his shoes off. He sat in his recliner, put his feet up, and he's kind of thinking about everything that happened and everything that everybody had told him, and what a great preacher he was and what a great man of God he was. And his wife came in the room, and he said, "Sweetheart, how many great preachers do you think there are in this world?" And she said, "One less than you think there are." Amen. I married her sister. Amen. Mark 5, if you'd stand, please. Now I'm down to 13 minutes. Man, I got 20 verses to read. I ain't going to read 20 verses. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he'd been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice, saying, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Father, we bow in your presence tonight. God, grateful for what we've already heard. Lord, I'm not saying this to flatter the preacher. I'm not saying this to stroke any egos tonight. But Lord, if I could have heard that in the first year or two or three of my Christian life, it sure would have helped me. Lord, I pray that God, those that were in the auditorium tonight and heard the God, I know we listen, but help us to hear. Help us to hear what's been preached. God, help us to allow it to find a lodging place in our hearts. Now, Lord, my task is mighty tonight. I've got much to say in a very little bit of time. And Lord, I don't think that I misused my time. I believe I followed you. But Lord, I've got a number of things that I want to draw out of this passage. And Father, I'm going to need your help tonight. And so Lord, I pray that God, you'd help me to say only the things that need to be said. God, only that which is important, and God, that which is crucial, and to leave out anything that God might just be a non-necessity. Father, speak to our hearts now as you already have. God, do it again. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we find in this text that our Lord, we saw last night in Mark chapter 4, that Jesus and his disciples have left Capernaum and they sail to Gadara. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is the only thing that they do while they're in Gadara is they deal with this one man. Because in verse number 20, the very moment that Jesus was finished dealing with this man whom we refer to generically as the maniac of Gadara, they immediately get back in that vessel and they head back, amen, to this place called Capernaum. Don't tell me, ladies and gentlemen, that one person's not important. Jesus put his disciples through a storm just to get to one man. Amen. Listen, I know he's concerned with numbers. He wrote a book called Numbers. But I'm telling you, he's concerned with individuals. He's concerned with one person. That person that God has put you in contact with at work, that person that God has put you in contact with at the office, that person that God has put you in contact with at the school. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say that one person means the world to the Lord? Amen. And so he deals with this man. Listen, I don't have time to develop all this thought, but ladies and gentlemen, I want you to notice several things about how our Lord, listen, if we are going to choose an example of how to live our lives, of how to live our faith, of how to share our faith, we'd probably do well by choosing how Jesus did it. Amen. And I want you to notice with me quickly in the, how many minutes do I have? 9? I got my glasses off, so I'm a little foggy. So you give me a minute or two over, if you would. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, that Jesus went to his location. Listen, I'm grateful for a church building. I love what y'all have done with the building. Man, the outside looks great. The inside looks great. I like the pulpit. I don't know what Brother Jeremy's all, amen, busting on the pulpit. Amen. Just looks like it's been used. Amen. But to amen, don't look like there's been a lot of sharing going on up in here. Amen. Don't look like Joel Osteen's graced this pulpit lately. Amen. Amen. So I don't know what in the world he is talking about, but we'll just move on. I like the sign out front, amen. But I'm going to tell you, a sign and a nice building and comfortable pews doesn't get people to come into church. Listen, last time I checked, sinners are out yonder. Amen. They're scared to death to come. Listen, when's the last time you invited a rank sinner, amen, amen, to come to church? And this is what you hear. Man, if I come in there, the building fall down. I'm going to tell you, we make buildings stronger than that now. Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, where you're going to encounter them is out there in the world. Amen. Out there in the workplace. And as I said last night, the problem's not you being in the world. The problem is the world getting in you. The problem is when on the workplace and on the job, you laugh at the same jokes everybody else laughs at, and you tell a few of your own, amen, and you're involved in the same kind of gossip, amen, in the office that everybody else is involved in, and start some of your own, and you get involved in the same kind activities. Somebody say amen right here. But when they see you, I'm not talking about being a jerk. We already covered that. I don't need to have to cover that again. I'm not talking about preaching a sermon at everybody about how wrong their behavior is. I'm talking about just having some holiness to your life personally. Amen. Listen, y'all don't know a lot about me. You only know what I've told you. Amen. I'm like your children. You only know what they tell you. Amen. But I got saved in 77 and God called me to preach just a couple of months later. And amen, I went to Bible college. And while I was in college, preacher, I worked as a longshoreman. Anybody know what a longshoreman is? We load and unload ships. I worked down in the port just in the Indiana side of Chicago called the Port of Indiana, for obvious reasons. Amen. Just dawned on me right there. That's why they call it the Port of Indiana, because that's where it's at. And I worked as a longshoreman, a stevedore. The guys that get attracted to that occupation are not church-going guys. Amen? They work hard, and they play harder. Our crane operator, honest before the Lord, the guy that was in charge of, amen, bringing whatever we were unloading out of that ship, safely out of the ship, amen, safely, and into the warehouse without killing anybody, was a fall down drunk, and he would sleep in his car, and the guy that was the signal man would get there about 2 hours early and start pumping coffee in him. Amen. And I'm just telling you, I know what it is to work with men. I know what it is, amen, to have to stand my ground and stake out my territory. Amen. They called me all kind of names. They made fun of me because I wasn't a jerk and I didn't preach at them. I just lived my life and tried to be a testimony. But I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, when everybody else was somewhere else telling stories and bragging about their conquests the night before, somebody who was looking for help would find where I was. They wouldn't do it when all their buddies were around. But they'd come up to me and they'd say, Reverend, that's what they called me. That was their demeaning term. Reverend, would you pray with me? Amen. Few of those old boys got saved. Amen. And I'd say, well, I've not done that at work. Well, there's always a start. Amen. Just cut you off a chute. Amen. And plant it where you're at. Amen. And just start being different. Amen. Hey, listen, Jesus went to his location. Did you get that? He left. He didn't expect that man to come to him. Hey, that man's not crossing a body of water to get to the Lord. The Lord shows up. He's scared to death. Amen. He's praying, saying, Lord, he said, I adjure thee that thou torment me not. He is so bound up with devils. He thinks the Lord's going to torment him. He's clueless how tormented he really is. I want you to notice this. Look at verse number 9. And he asked him, what is thy name? Now look up in here just a minute. Does Jesus ever ask a question that he don't already know the answer to? Right? Adam's in the garden. Adam sinned, right? Whatever that fruit was, we ain't going to debate it tonight. I don't care what it was. God just said, don't eat it. I don't care if it's an apple or a grape. Amen? I don't care. But God said, don't eat it. And the moment he did, his eyes were open, and he realizes, I'm not presentable. And immediately he and she start trying to cover their nakedness. Now let me ask you a question. Had there ever been a reason for Adam to be fearful of the Lord prior to that moment? I know some of y'all, this is like brand new because, amen, this is the second day you've been in the family of God. But there was never any reason for them to ever be a bit trepidatious to the Lord showing up. Now something's happened in their life. Something's changed. And it's interesting because the Bible said that Adam hid from God. Now think about that for a moment. If he's everywhere all at once and he sees everything all the time, where are you going? Well, I'm going to lay out of church because I don't want God to know what I'm doing. You are crippled too high for crutches. Amen. Crutches can't help you. You're just dumb. He's hiding from God. And so remember what God does? Adam! You think he's calling Adam because he don't know where Adam's at? He knows where Adam's at. He knows exactly where Adam's at. He wants Adam to know where Adam's at. He wants it, ding, 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 flags up in the air. He wants Adam to realize, man, I'm really dumb. I ain't hiding this from God. God sees all through. Fig leaves ain't fooling him. Amen. Notice this. He says, what is thy name? Notice the answer. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. He asks him a name, and this man gives him a number. Right. Legion's not a name. I don't know if you know that. Legion's a number. In fact, it's a number, but it's the number of a Roman military unit numbering somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000. So I got to thinking, and he adds confirmation to that. Look what he says. He says, my name is Legion, for we are what? Many. All right, so I'm thinking about this. We were just down in Missouri where I used to pastor. I'm sorry, I'm going to lie to you, because I'm not going to be done in a minute. So I just confess my sin before all y'all and ask for forgiveness. Do I have forgiveness? Do I? Because somebody's going to go out here and say, that preacher said he's going to be done at 8:45 and he lied to me. So I'm confessing for all y'all. I'm going to try to be done as quick as I can. We were just down in Missouri. I pastored in Missouri for 13 years. By the way, where we lived, it was Missouri. You all pronounce it Missouri, that's fine. Not going to argue with you. Pronounce it both ways. Amen. Just depends on where you're from. Amen. You don't call it Detroit. Amen. That's what it, if you know French, that's what it'd be. Amen. That's what it was when they named it. And then all y'all moved up in here and changed it to Detroit. Amen. And then the Democrats got in and wrecked the whole mess. But anyway, it's another story altogether. So I'm down in Missouri, and right near where I pastored, there are seven prison complexes. We were close to the state capitol. And the Missouri State Penitentiary, which at one time was the bloodiest 47 acres in the entire United States of America, it was the first prison west of the Mississippi. And so in the frontier days, anybody that had done anything out on the frontier that was arrested, guess where they got sent? They got sent to Missouri State Penitentiary. So we were just there. And my grandson, who's 13 years old and is growing up there, had never been to what we call the walls. I used to work as a volunteer in there, volunteer in corrections. They called it VIC for short. And so I wanted to go take the tour because they have since closed that facility down and moved all the inmates out. But I remembered very quickly when I went to visit an inmate, I didn't ask for him by name. I asked for him by number. And a thought dawned on me, when your name's been replaced by a number, you're usually locked up and can't get free. And here's a man who identifies himself not as an individual, not as somebody who has the ability to determine his own destiny. He identifies himself as somebody who's simply a number. I got to thinking about how people identify themselves. Listen, all my life, I have been big. Amen. I came into this world 11 pounds, 14 ounces. Amen. That was back in the day when Dad was out in the waiting room. Didn't do all this in there, cut the cord, wash your hands, you know, just sat out there and the doctor came out. And when the doctor introduced me to my dad, Derek, he said, your wife has had a child, not a baby. That is the honest truth. If my mom was here tonight, she'd tell you the truth. I have always been big. I've always been the biggest kid in class. Amen. I was always the first one out in dodgeball. The last one picked at baseball. But the first one picked for tug of war. That is my sports story in a paragraph. I can hope and think myself to be little, but you know in my head how I identify myself? Somebody who's just, listen, if you looked on my medical chart, you ever do that? You ever get bored because a doctor's taking forever?
Yeah. Come on.
I was sitting in there one day, Brother Reagan, and I'd been in there, I don't know, 25 minutes. I'd read everything in people that I was interested in. amen, better homes and gardens, and they'll never have good magazines. They'll never have Hot Rod in there. Amen, Popular Mechanics, something that's worth reading. They always got drivel in there, you know, People or, amen, some tabloid. So I got my chart off the door. And honest before the Lord, Taylor, I opened the chart, and on the first page, in big, wide, red magic marker, these words were written, morbidly obese. I'm not talking about little notation. I'm not talking about something small. I'm talking about boxcar letters, man. Thinking that sounds really bad. But I've enjoyed it. I've learned to own it. I'm just saying, in my head, that's how I think about myself. You might have your life controlled by something else. Amen? And so when you see yourself and the Lord inquires as to who you are, you say, well, I'm an alcoholic. Or I'm a drug addict. Or I'm a divorcee. Amen? Or I'm a failure. I'm a no good, no count. Can I just remind you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus went to his location. He dealt with his identification. Let me just give you quickly, and I'm going to really give you these two last points. Amen. Like a fat man crawling through a barbed wire fence. Amen. I'm going to give them to you fast and quick. Amen. A couple more points and we'll be through. Amen. Listen, he identified himself as a number. Can I just say this? Look at verse number 6. The Bible said, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. You see, the preacher is trying to get you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to the Christian life than do, perform. There's more, amen, than growing, amen, 80 feet in 6 weeks. Amen. God wants you to grow some roots downward. Amen. So there's something to support you. So you've got something to draw from. Hey, that's why he gave you a Bible, 66 books to put some roots down in. So it'll support your Christian life. Christ helped him. Number 3 was sanctification. Look at verse number 5. Night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Now the first time I saw that, I know there's a phenomenon that goes on out in the world of people cutting themselves. I've dealt with that a time or two in the ministry. People that, amen, do themselves harm. And I thought, okay, that's probably what this guy's trying to do. But there is a principle in the study of God's word that is referred to as the law of first mention. And that principle states that, generally speaking, the first time God uses a word or a phrase in the pages of his Bible is typically going to determine how it's used throughout the rest of the pages of the Word of God. And so the first time you have cutting of flesh with a stone is in the 4th chapter of the book of Exodus. And Zipporah has circumcised the son of Hur and Moses. All the men getting nervous right here. Amen. But Zipporah has circumcised and taken that flesh. It's the cutting of the flesh. It's a picture of separation. It's a picture of cleansing. And so I thought, Brother Reagan, could it possibly be that this man is trying to clean himself? Is it possible that he's trying to make some changes in his flesh because he's tired of how he is? He's tired of how he's living. He's tired of what his life has become. And then it dawned on me, ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is, when you are always trying to, amen, better, I got to thinking about this. Brother Reagan, would you come up here just a minute? You're 40, if I remember right, aren't you? Right? Well, Jeremy, how old are you? 42, so you're just a little bit older than him. Come on up here. Now, basically, both of these men, my friends, are in the same stage of their life, right? Right? How come he ain't grown as much as he has? Now, I'm not being unkind. Listen, I'm looking at your girls. Your oldest is the shortest. You're the youngest, right, of the girls? Are you really? Wow. That really messes everything up, don't it? Is she really? She is your youngest? That ain't right, is it? Make you mad? Hey, men, you ever want to just get an axe and cut her off at the knees? Who's that chick that was a figure skater? And yeah, what's her? Y'all know who I'm talking. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. What was her name? No, that was who got whacked. Tanya Harding. See, y'all know, acting like, well, I don't know who you're talking about. I never watch no TV and what wicked movies. And oh, come on. Yeah. Amen. Man, Pharisees everywhere, ain't they? We just ate up with them, man. But I'm just telling you, we don't all grow at the same rate. Listen, he ain't growing no more. Got bad news for him. He can hope. He can think about it. He can go, walk over to the door, same mark. Right? Am I telling the truth? But see, that's how, thank you guys, appreciate it. But that's how we measure spirituality. On all that outward stuff. Listen, if the righteous shall be made fat, I got all y'all beat. Amen? If my body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, he's dwelling in a super church. Amen? I done gave him a mega church, Jordan. Amen. Amen. We laugh and it's funny, but you know why we're laughing? Because we know it's right. That's where we live. We get stuck right in there. Listen, you can't, let me let you in on a clue, man. You can't fix yourself because you didn't make yourself. Listen, I was talking to the preacher today. He done ratted you out, Todd. Told me you are the best mechanic anywhere in Southeast Michigan. I don't know what your credentials are. He threw them at me. I couldn't remember, but he said you're a wonderful mechanic. I got a problem. I've been trying to fix in that dumb Jeep. I'm finally where I can get the seatbelt on without having to, amen, go into contortions. Amen. Amen. I got thrown off a ride at, amen, Disney World. That test track thing years ago, couldn't get the seatbelt on. I thought I had it hidden. Set a sensor off right before we went on. My kids still have never forgotten that day. Brooke's trying to stick it in. Barbie's trying to hold my stomach up. It was horrible, man. It was awful. We got 15 cars behind us. They're all mad at me. So anyway, I get the seatbelt in, but the dinger, it don't recognize the seatbelt's in there. It's in there. But every time I stop, it's ding, ding, ding. Amen. 25 times every time I started rolling stop signs. I hate listening to that thing. So if you know a fix for that, I will hug you. Amen. If it's cheap, I may even kiss you, but... Amen, but I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I am not in touch with my feminine side. Amen. I would just be that happy. Listen, I can't fix it. I've tried to. I've stuck screwdrivers down in there. I've stuck knife blades down in trying to figure out what the thing is that senses it's in there. I can't figure it out. So I'm gonna hopefully take it to somebody who, amen, know something from the maker.
Right. That's good.
You can't fix you. Well, man, yeah. No, he's just, I can tell by the look on his face, he's clueless. Amen. We're just, we know how to wave at each other. Amen. But it's all that far, as far as that goes. But I'm just saying, help them sanctify. Last thing, and I'm done, I promise. Man, I really lied to you guys. Wow. I'm sorry. Sort of. Let me give you the last thing. You're not making me feel good about this. Look at the last thing. The Bible said, and when they, verse 17. So he, verse 15. So he gets, Jesus changes his life. Verse 15, the Bible said, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. Look at the last four words. Why weren't they afraid when the guy's running around naked, cutting himself? They'd grown used to that. They were fine with him running around the town, living in the tombs, living in the mountains, crying and cutting him. That didn't bother them at all. But the moment he puts clothes on and it's making sense, it freaks everybody out. But that's about what happened when you got saved, ain't it? It didn't bother everybody. Amen. When you was, amen, killing a case around the tailgate of a pickup truck after work, it didn't bother anybody. Amen. When you were smoking enough weed, amen, start a cloud factory, it didn't bother nobody when you were doing all those. But the moment you got saved and you got right with God and you got clothed in his righteousness and started talking about the things of God, it made them all nervous. And look at the Bible said, and they that saw him told them how it befell him to was possessed with the devil concerning the swine, verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They didn't want him around no more. You ever feel that way around your family and your friends? Because there's been a change in you. Amen. And you're not fun to be around anymore. In fact, you make them feel uncomfortable. And you don't even have to say nothing. They invite you over to family functions on Sunday, and you say, well, man, sorry, but Sunday's church day. And just that bothers them. Amen? Because they're convicted because they don't care about church day. They're convicted because they don't have a desire to go to church. And so then they quit. They'll invite you for a while just to see if they can wear you down. Then they quit inviting you. And then they don't want you around family holidays because you ain't going to partake in the holiday cheer. Amen. Amen. You ain't gonna drink no more. Amen. And you aren't going to partake in all the foolishness that goes on anymore. And so now you're no fun to have around. So they just avoid you. Now I want you to notice something. Verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Every time I read that, that touches my heart. Because this guy, all he wants, He's like, Lord, they don't want me around here no more. Can I just go be with you? Can I just go spend the rest of my life hanging out with you? And I want you to notice what Jesus says. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said, go home to thy home. Where's home? This guy hadn't had a home in who knows how long. He's been living in the mountains and in the tombs and crying and cutting himself. He's hanging out in the cemetery. Why? Because he'd been kicked out of home. Jesus says, go home and tell how great things the Lord had done for thee and had had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish. Doesn't mean he opened a newspaper. He began to publish. He began to tell everybody he knew, everybody he came in contact with, everywhere he went. He began to tell how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let me say, not only did he go to his location, deal with his identification, help with his sanctification, but he changed his habitation. You see, when you get saved, you don't go hang out the same places you used to hang out at. When I got saved, I got a new watering hole. Amen? Didn't hang out in the same old places, Danny, that I used to hang out before I got saved. Didn't take me long. Amen? Amen. I didn't have to cut the shoreline with the old crowd. They cut the shoreline with me. Amen. They'd seen some changes in my life. It wasn't that I was trying to be ostentatious or showy or a jerk. There was something different about me, and it was apparent, and those changes on the inside worked their way to the outside, and I was a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And every one of us has got a story. And ain't nobody can tell it like you. I can't tell your story because your story ain't my story. And you can't tell my story because my story's not your story. But I'll tell you, when a maniac meets the master, there's some changes in their life. You know somebody tonight that needs to be saved? You see, while I'm preaching this message, somebody's thinking of somebody right now. You got somebody on your heart, right? Let me ask you, where are they at? You know where some of you left them? On the sofa with a remote in their hand. Or in the Lazy Boy with a remote in their hand. Or out on the basket. Well, maybe not tonight because it's raining, but amen?
Yeah.
Or in the office, or in the workplace, at the factory. Amen?
That's good, bro.
Amen? Listen, go to where they're at. Amen. Tell them what the Lord's done for you. So I've never done that before. I'm afraid I'll mess it up. How can you mess up what the Lord did for you?
Right.
If I had to tell your story, I'd mess it up. But I know what he did for me.
Amen.
I know how he dealt with my heart. I know how he brought me under conviction. I know how he wooed me. Brother Mike to himself, I know how I realized I was a lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. And that very day, I left there a brand new believer in Christ, a child of God, born into a brand new family, headed to a brand new destination.
Amen.
And met a whole lot of wonderful people along the way. How do you identify yourself tonight? What do you see when you see yourself? Loser? Failure? Maybe that's not your problem. Maybe you see yourself as successful. I got everything under control. I don't need this church stuff. You know, I don't know who to feel sorrier for. Somebody who realizes they got a need and won't come, or somebody who thinks they're too good to have a need. Amen? The old preacher, not the one you's referring to tonight, and not the one so many of our crowd refers to. There's an old preacher named Jack Wood down in Houston, Texas. He used to say it'd do good for a lot of Christians to get drunk and lay in their puke in a gutter for a night just to remind them where they were when God found them. Now, I'm not advocating that tonight, so don't go out of here and say that that's what the sermon was about. Amen. But I'm seeing, you know what some of our problem is? We forgot where we were. We forgot the mess he had to reach down in to pull us out. Our good friend Gary Duty wrote a song about that text I preached out of tonight. And he wrote it from the perspective that when the end of Mark 4 was playing out, that maniac Jordan was up on top of the mountain where he'd been dwelling, and he sees these disciples and the Lord coming across the Sea of Galilee in that storm. And I can't help but think that horde of demons that possessed him found some joy in the fact that they were having a hard time. And I can see that wry smile, I mean, work his way, Taylor, work its way across his face. But then something happened, Jordan, he ain't never seen before. Somebody from the back of the boat who had a pillow, amen, stood up and walked to the front of the boat, and he couldn't hear what he said, but he sure could see what happened. And all of a sudden, that storm that was raging, and those waves that were filling that vessel, and that wind that was contrary to them, all of a sudden, all that ceased. And he wrote a song from the perspective that if he could calm that storm, maybe he could calm this storm. You got a storm raging in you tonight? Amen. You need help with sanctification, trying to clean yourself up, trying to make yourself fit. As Brother Jeremy so masterfully preached tonight, somebody else's expectations. Amen. The Lord will lead you. That's why it's called growing in grace. Amen. I didn't know everything I know now when I was six. I'd have been dangerous. Amen. I didn't know everything I know now when I was 16. I'd have been dangerous. Amen. But I've grown. And God's given me knowledge and revealed some things to me. Amen. Does he need to change your habitation tonight? You still hanging around in some of the same old places that got you in trouble before? I want to ask you to stand tonight. And again, please forgive me because my intention was to be done a while ago.